Yeah, I see Ms. Kelly is on. So, Mr. Romano, we have a quorum.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. LaMountain. All right. Good morning. I'd now like to call the April 24th, 2025 meeting of the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education to order. The time is currently 10:01 a.m. Pursuant to Arizona State.
Hold on. Okay.
Good. All right. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statutes 38431.02, notice was hereby given to the general public, the members of the Arizona State Board Private Postsecondary Education, that the board is holding a meeting open to the public on this date and time, as just stated. This meeting is being held digitally via Google Meet platform. A complete meeting agenda, including a list of applications scheduled for consideration, is available on the board's website at www.ppse.azgov. So thank you for that. Please note that the board reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda, with the exception of matters set for a specific time, such as formal hearings and interviews. However, the chair reserves the right to call cases in different orders. Furthermore, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statutes 38431.03A3, the board may, upon the majority vote of a quorum of the members, hold an executive session of any items listed on the agenda for the purpose of obtaining legal advice. So with that, if we could move to a roll call, Mr. LaMountain.
Mr. Romano.
Here.
Mr. Romano is here. Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent, will be late joining us this morning. Dr. Leck?
Here.
Dr. Leck is here. Mr. Ball?
Here.
Mr. Ball is here. Dr. Boutte?
Here.
Dr. Boutte is here. And Ms. Kelly?
Here.
And then for staff, I'm Kevin LaMount, Executive Director. Keith Blanter?
Here.
Keith is here. Ms. Jacqueline Rome?
Here.
And Assistant Attorney General Jean Galvin?
Here.
Great. So all are present and accounted for.
Great. Thank you very much. We'll move to item agenda item number 3 for declaration of conflict of interest. Do any of our board members have any conflict of interest to bring forward at this time?
This is Doug Ball. I will have a conflict with the Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture.
Okay. Thank you for that. Anything else? All right. Hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, which is the review, discussion, and possible actions on the approved board meeting minutes. So with that, as a reminder, the board's policy is to audibly record all meetings and post them, the recordings on the website as the official minutes. Mr. LaMountain, can you confirm that the recording for the audio minutes for January 23rd, 2025 have been posted on the website and are audible?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, I can confirm that the audio minutes have been posted and are audible.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
This is Dr. Leck, I'll motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Dr. Boutte, I'll second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Mr. LaMountain, would you take roll?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Mittman? Dr. Mittman is absent. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. By that vote of 5 ayes, no nays, that motion will pass.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. LaMountain. We'll move on to agenda item number 5, which is the review, discussion, and possible action on the election of the board officers in regards to appointing of committee membership. So first we have up the Finance Committee. Mr. LaMountain, would you like to lead us through that?
Certainly. So, Mr. Romano, members of the board, currently the Finance Committee has 2 members on the committee. That would be Mr. Ball and Dr. Mittman. If there is a third individual, a third board member that would be interested in in serving on that committee, that would be great. If not, we can still move through with Mr. Ball, assuming that he wants to stay on the committee, and Dr. Mittman, who has, I have confirmed that he wants to stay on the committee. We are currently seeking another board member that would be an individual with a CPA, and hope to have that individual identified and potentially nominated to the board sometime before the end of the fiscal year.
So the desire would be to have somebody bridge that gap with a third member. And I think we're in the same situation with the complaint committee as well. We have two members and we're looking for a third on that.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Fellow board members, do we have any additional ones who would like to raise their hand for either the finance committee or the complaint committee?
I'll do the complaint committee.
Ms. Kelly?
And I apologize about my face. Just call out the pink elephant in the room. I fell in Cabo, so I'm trying to stay off camera too much.
You look fantastic. Don't even worry about it. All right. So that would be, I believe we would have Dr. Boutte, Dr. Leck, and Mary Kelly as part of that committee. Do we need a motion on that?
I believe we do, because we do have it as an election. So there would be a motion and then a vote.
All right. I'll make a motion that we add Mary Kelly onto the complaint committee.
I'll second. This is Dr. Leck.
Very good. Any further discussion? Mr. Lamont, if you take roll.
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
And Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Okay, Ms. Kelly. So that's five ayes, no nays. So we will add Ms. Kelly to the complaint committee. And then in terms of the finance committee, I don't know if anyone has interest in doing it to bridge it, or you know, it's a fun committee. Let me just tell you, it's a fun committee to be on. Those documents are exciting, enthusiastic. It's a wonderful thing. I know I'm speaking for Mr. Paul currently.
Dr. Lloyd?
I would be willing to bridge for a hot minute.
All right.
Okay.
Great. Well, thank you. So,
Make a motion to accept Dr. Leck as the bridge until we can secure another member for our board at this point. With that, do I have a second?
Second, Dr. Boutte.
Dr. Boutte, thank you very much. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Mr. Lamountain?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. That's five ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
Very good. Dr. Leck, thank you very much for your service and commitment to bridging us. We appreciate that. Mr. Lamont, just a formality question. If for some reason Dr. Leck or one of the other members of the Finance Committee was unable to support or attend in a particular meeting, do I have the ability to sit in on that to help support as a third member? Or does that require some type of further action?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, yes, you would have the opportunity to sit in on that. And that is really the case for we would have the quorum for the committee. So, you know, feel free, even if you're just interested to know what's going on in that committee.
Well, certainly I want understanding Dr. Leck has made a significant commitment already to our complaint committee, and that certainly want to be supportive of where I can fit in and fill in as necessary. So I just want to make sure that we were all clear as board members that we have the ability to do that and support as necessary. So thank you for that.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mao.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, with that, why don't we move on then to item number 6 on the agenda, which is review and discussion of the executive director's report. Mr. Lamont.
Mr. Romano, members of the board, I've included in your folder the executive director report. It outlines both the operational account and the student tuition recovery accounts, and the status where we're currently at. We are actually doing quite well this year with both the revenue and expenses. One thing I did want to point out and note in our operational fund, this is, we still have one more renewal cycle worth of revenue that will come in. So that's why you're seeing some numbers that are look a little different, because those numbers have not hit our budget yet. What you will notice in the operation account is that our ending fund balance for that currently sets at $644,400, which is above, quite a bit above. That's where we believe we're probably going to end, around $675,000 to $700,000 in excess of our expenditures. So that money, I have had conversations with our budget committee, the JLBC, as our budget works its way through the legislature, to shift spend $100,000 of that excess for digitization of records for this upcoming year. We believe it's going to make it through. It's still in the budget, although, you know, a lot of things will happen between now and when the budget gets passed. But that is our goal, is to move some of that. And then if you look at our student tuition recovery fund, we are over the $500,000 minimum. We believe we are going to maintain that, which would prevent a billing cycle for student tuition recovery fund for this upcoming fiscal year for FY26. So we don't believe we're going to have to bill for 26. Going through the report, I've given you, provided you some information about where we are currently with the number of schools. We currently have 234 institutions that are licensed by the board. We have 31 initial applications. So letting you know that the next few meetings are going to be jam-packed with a number of new schools that we have, that we're currently working on their initial application for. So this is probably the last of the smaller agenda board meetings that we're going to have. So I just want you to be prepared for that. So the next few will be quite lengthy. I've listed the closures that we've had over the last year, the new programs. I just wanted to go through, I posted some legislative updates. There's a few bills that are making its way through. Almost all bills right now in the legislature are somewhat stalled. I haven't seen really them moving forward. There's a lot of back and forth between the governor's office and with the legislature about moving certain bills. So I've given you some highlights of some bills that are out there that may have some impact on either our board or the schools that we regulate. I don't know if you have any questions on those. And then lastly, just a few things. I did want to show over here. Obviously, some things have been going on in the last couple of days with the Department of Education and with the executive orders from the Trump administration. We're currently evaluating what that means, specifically the one that came out yesterday, the executive order about accreditors. I was actually on an accreditor call yesterday. So I think there's a lot that will transpire over the next couple of weeks and couple of months. And I will keep the board informed as I know more of what the next steps are. I did want to show you that on our website, I posted, I'm sure that you followed this as well, that the department is going to start collecting on borrower debt beginning May 5th. So I've posted both the department's notification, and I put together a paper last night that is really designed to help students understand that during this challenging time that they're going to start seeing as these collections happen. but there's a number of scams. We've seen this before that happens. A number of people will go out and make bold statements of helping a student secure debt-free, getting rid of all of your student loans. And they're, for the most part, they're all scams. So I just wanted to have a paper out there that would allow students to look at it, review it, and know really what kind of the next steps are that might be happening out there. So I just don't want anybody caught off guard with that. So that's out there. And this is the statement. It's just a matter of, you know, protecting yourself from any of these particular scams that might be coming in the future. And then lastly, some of us, myself, Jacqueline, Keith, we're going to St. Louis this weekend for the NASAPS conference. This is my last year on the board and last year as president of NASAP. So we've got a big agenda, a lot of very exciting different sessions. I'm really happy to say that 18 attendees from Arizona will be attending this. So it's a real big group from Arizona. So I'm very excited and thankful for that. Outside of that, any questions that anybody has on the board report?
I think it was very thorough of a report, so thank you for that and the detail associated with some of the legislation under consideration. I was curious and understanding it's still a little bit of a black box, if you will, with what will occur with the Department of Ed and accreditors and such from that standpoint. With the surplus we have in the budget, should we be, as a board, starting to talk through maybe consideration of staffing needs to compensate for what may ultimately fall on the states to have to support now?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, the answer to that would be yes. We don't know what the next year is going to look like, but we do know it's going to be different. And I think over the next few months, we'll get a better idea of what responsibilities are going to fall to the state that are currently a component of the Department of Education and accreditors. So as we move through that, I'll keep you updated, let you know what's happening. If we need to go, I've had a number of conversations with the governor's office about issues and potential opportunities moving forward. So as it becomes clearer, I'll let the board know.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other questions from fellow board members? Okay. Thank you for, again, the preparation of those materials. With that, and understanding Dr. Mittman is not available for the next 45 minutes, we will look to move to item agenda number 8, which is review consideration and possible action on the following pending license applications, if that makes sense, Mr. Lemon.
It does. And as we get closer to the time frame, I will notify Dr. Mittman and he will jump on the call.
Great. So with that, we have renewal of applications. The first one under consideration is Accelerate Pathways Career College with Mr. Ball as our lead.
Okay. Good morning. Do we have, I see Ms. Is that Vega?
Yes, Vega. Good morning. Good morning, board members and attendees.
Good morning. Would you like to make an opening statement? Tell us about your
school. Yes, sir. Good morning, all. My name's Maria. I am the assistant director for Accelerated Pathways Career College here in the Valley. We are an allied health institution under the direction and expertise of Dr. Alex Kim. We had a wonderful year last year of learning and a lot of bugging and calling and bothering all of the board members as we learned the process and grew. We had a great outcome last year. Of course, outcome and growth in students. Revenue was not the best because we're a brand new school, but we're really looking forward to another year of growing and, of course, with the aid and help of all of you board members. So we're here petitioning a renewal license, and we're excited for round 2 of this.
Okay, well, I just have a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
I'm a CPA, so I'm looking at your financial statements more than anything else.
Yes, sir.
And I noticed that it looks like you're delinquent in your rent. Is that true?
Not anymore. No, sir. There was actually a hiccup there with the Bellagio real estate, but no, rent is up to date. Everything is up to date. Their system did not reflect our payments, but we are currently up to date. We did get an invoice for like, I think it was 5 cents that we were behind. But, you know, that has been resolved, and we are definitely up to date with that.
Okay, so on your balance sheet where it says due to CPA, I assume that's your landlord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that was, it was not reflected in their system, so we were getting invoice for that. The last invoice we received was like 5 cents, which was also delinquent, but we are definitely up to date with that.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing to change the way the financial statements are looking in terms of you're generating revenues and all that.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going into year two, of course. We are definitely trying and shooting for Title IV compliance, WIOA compliance. As we grow into year two of existence, we're doing a lot of recruiting on the floor with our local high schools. Our goal is to, I think we undersold ourselves last year as a new institution, not charging enough or not charging adequate to market and analysis prices. So we definitely reevaluated our market analysis prices. We do have some suggestions that are still going through our executive team. We hope to have those new changes in pricing out to the board soon. But we did do a market analysis on, you know, our competitors and local schools here in the Valley. I think we did sell ourselves too short last year because they thought we were a new institution and we had to do that. So our team is definitely reevaluating that. We hope to have those changes up to date soon for the board to review and approve changes in fees for our programs. And, of course, on our end, we are working towards Title IV. We're working towards accreditation. Accreditation is one of our big projects as a brand-new school. So we're working on accreditation and compliance with that as well.
Okay. Do any other board members have any questions?
Thank you, Dr. Ball, or Mr. Ball. I did have a quick question just coming around. The number of students that you have and then the tuition to Mr. Ball's point, it seemed like you heavily discounted the tuition per student against what you've actually posted as your tuition rate. And I guess I'm familiar with seeing some discount, but this was like cents on the dollar almost from that standpoint. So I guess the question really becomes, you know, I'm paraphrasing here and it's not accurate, but close to free.
Yes. So how are we surviving? Nope. That's definitely, I'm with you on that, Mr. Romano. Yes.
Well then, and then flipping the switch to charging something that's in alignment with the tuition you're posting to get to that financial solvency. Is there a timeline associated with that of when that will actually be activated? Versus where we're currently at.
Absolutely. So yes, I think that's one of the strategies that our old team actually formed was, you know, in order to recruit and get students and let's just give it pennies on the dollar, which really hurt us last year because as you can see, we are in the negatives. And of course, I guess it's expected as a brand new school for the first 2 years, but not that drastically. So we went back, we did our research, market analysis, and we're hoping to start implementing these prices right after our renewal. We wanted to make sure that everything was up to date up to this point and start enforcing that. We're hoping to recover within the next 6 to 8 months with full tuition prices. And as you mentioned, we brought that up to our executive team. We believe in discounts. We believe in helping and aiding, you know, making, giving the access to the students for furthering their education. But someone also has to keep the lights on. So we did petition that to our executive board to revise and to reconsider. Of course, when we brought it, you know, in black and white to them, they're like, this definitely makes sense, Maria. So, you know, we're really not really not charging for anything. If you go back and look at supply cost and, you know, the loss of, you know, phlebotomy is a very expensive course, and a lot of our MA programs do phlebotomy. So we were really in the red. We're hoping that within the next 6 to 8 months, as soon as we start implementing this full tuition price, getting rid of those massive discounts, we hope to be back on our feet.
Thank you for that.
No, thank you. Yes, I'm glad you spot that out right away. We did, and we brought that before our executive team, and we're like, yeah, this is, we're not going to survive. Honestly, if we continue to do this for, you know, for almost free.
Yeah, I think that's where I was trying to get a sense of, you know, as you move into this year, how much more time do you really have of a runway where the financial support and commitment will sustain there. And I'm, Mr. Ball, as you've had a chance to kind of review the financials, I'm assuming you feel confident enough that we don't need anything additional to support kind of the commitment from the owners in this case.
Well, I'm not sure if we have any personal financial statements from Dr. Holding, but we might want to consider getting that, because he's the deep pockets here.
Yeah.
I assume he's going to be willing to keep funding the school until it turns around, right?
Right, right, right. That's our goal. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just a unique situation. Certainly we've seen for other schools where they have brought in grants or those types of things to help offset the cost of a tuition for the school. But as you flip that switch, what we're trying to have sensitivity to as well is that those students who start the program don't suddenly find themselves with a locked door that they can't complete their education, but yet they've committed to the tuition now at a much larger price. So we usually use this first year as an opportunity to validate the school's solvency and ability to operate the business. And what we have here is kind of an ability for students to go through. So you've demonstrated the ability to deliver education, but I think the sensitivity that we're trying to talk through is just the financial solvency and getting to what the school had originally intended in their business plan in regards to going to market. That didn't seem to necessarily follow through for this first year.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Yes. And we're definitely feeling it on our end, of course, right now that we're trying, as you said, trying to flip the switch. We want to make sure that we don't, you know, put students in a tight situation.
Okay, any other questions? Hearing none, I will make a motion to approve the conditional to regular non-accredited vocational program license application with the understanding that the $15,000 surety bond be maintained. Are you willing to keep that bond in place?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mr. Bob?
Yeah.
Just a question. Based upon what you had just, the conversation that you and Mr. Romano had, did you want to add that we either need a letter of commitment and his personal financials? Did you want to add that to the motion?
Yeah, I think so. Just to protect the board, I think that'd be a good thing to ask for. So I add that to the motion.
Perfect. We'll be happy to provide that.
All right. So we have an amended motion for that. Do I have a second? I will second. I'll go ahead and second Dr. Vitae in this one, since I did some of the talking as well on it. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion by the board members? Hearing none. And Ms. Vega, as you had articulated, I think you're supportive of that. Ms. Lamont, would you take roll call?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. That's 5 ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
Very good. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Mr.
Lamont, any further action on that? Or
no further action. Before we move on, Mr. Romano, Dr. Mitman has joined. He's got a break now. He's at a different board meeting. So if possible, we would like to move his three items up to now.
Let's do it. We'll be crazy and flexible. So, all right, so we'll move back to agenda item number 7, which was review, discussion, and possible action on the Finance Committee referrals in regards to our first school, Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture, which I believe Mr. Ball is recusing himself from that one.
Correct. And Dr. Mitman, I see that you're on, but you're muted.
Yeah. Okay. I see Kathy Nemec on the slide. I'm not sure. Is
yeah, she was on.
Are you here? Okay.
Catherine, I just want to double check.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm having to attend by cell phone as well as computer.
Okay. All right. Why don't just for a little bit of background, this is a we had a Pima came up at the Finance Committee meeting last month, and the recommendation was to bring it to the full board today. There are, you sort of received in your packet a chronology of some of the issues that have been going on over the last, at least the last year, involving the Department of Ed, the accreditation or accrediting body, our board, and also communication issues. These include a show cause hearing, I'm trying to think with the. We have not received financial statements going back to 2023. We do not have audited financials. We do not have in-house financials. We have had lack of notification of the board about a show cause letter that the school received from the Acupuncture and Herbal Medicine Accreditation Body. And we have concerns about the school's finances, which even though we do not have the audited financials, we know that from correspondence with the Department of Education that the Education Department is requiring a letter of credit due to a composite score below 1.0. I know that that's being contested based on some accounting intricacies, shall we say. That said, there's enough concern given the information that we have and also the lack of communication and sharing materials with the board that the board has requested. And so that's why we're meeting here today. Mr. Lamont, is there anything that you would like to add? And then I'll let Ms. Nemec give us any updates.
Dr. Mitman, members of the board, that is an accurate representation of what the issues have been. We have received moments ago an updated gross tuition spreadsheet. I think one of the recommendations in the board report is that we put a bond on the institution, and I'm still working to figure out what that bond is supposed to be. So I input a number into that report last night, which was of the information that Ms. Namy provided yesterday, but now that number has changed. I'm going to have to review it and figure out exactly what that looks like. But again, consistent with the challenges and the issues that we've had with the institution, is that I'm receiving, you know, notification the day of a meeting, and it remains consistent that we're still having issues. So that's the update that I have. We do not have in-house financials that we've asked for. So in terms of reviewing and analyzing where the institution is financially, I think we're still flying blind.
Okay. Well, that was quite the introduction and welcome to Ms. Nemec. Do you want to share any updates? You know, I'm not sure you can recap some of the information that you shared in writing or at the March meeting. So go for it. Yeah, I'm just asking Kathy if there's anything.
Oh, me, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
if there's, here we are. Communication issues.
The board members regarding any of the information that we just shared, or you know, the status with the education department, accrediting body, et cetera.
Yes, I'm happy. First of all, thank you for the recount of the gruesome facts of what has happened and been going on for the past year or so. And it is not a reflection of who we are overall for the past 30 years that we've been running this college with good relations and communication with this board. And all of our audits have been excellent. But what has happened in the last year or so, not just because of the economy, because we also had a controller who fell ill over the last couple of years. We had an unusual situation where the Department of Ed picked up an issue that was resolved in 2013 in our favor and affirmed by all subsequent auditors, including our Doug Ball, who was a great auditor for us. So it really caused an issue. We challenged it. We sent it back to them. They did not enforce the letter that they sent to us requesting their initial letter. Once we pointed out the situation, they took it to their council, and it still stands in flux. So at this point in our communications with them, and you've received those, they have not gone further with it. So that led to the confusion with our creditor, which we resolved, and I spoke with them, and they understand where we had a different interpretation of what was the grounds giving rise to notifying them and the confusion around their show cause, which we responded with all our documents and so forth. There's a separate issue regarding finance that there was concern, which we provided all the documentation in terms of a delay in our payroll, which we resolved, and everybody's current, all those things have been resolved. What we are waiting for now is our 2023 audit. We had to find a new auditor at the last minute. They are out of state. And what happened is that as we went through this process, it became clear at the end, or nearing the end, we kept trying to find closure and move towards this, and we had difficulty communicating with them and getting responses from them as well. And so we know what you must be feeling like, because we've been having to deal with it as well with our auditors. And one of the main issues, we have dual systems. Our student management system does not communicate with our financial system, and as a result, we have an interim manual process for reconciling. Well, because their worksheets do not include that difference, it didn't match. And so we had to explain to them of the system. And so they sent it back to us to do manual auditing of all of our students. And we are in that process right now as we speak. And they also sent us some proposed adjustments, which we challenged because of the controller entries. And so we are in the middle of that process. It's taken horribly long. We've never had anything like this. And So, and this is cascading down towards our regulator and the creditor as well, and the Department of Ed, which we met with one of their subcommittees about late audits. They talked to us and we explained the situation, and she said, fine, they didn't have a problem with it. They have not taken any action regarding that. They understand this situation is happening. So everything is progressing, and we are committed to moving forward to resolve all of these issues. And I understand that there are some actions that you may have to take, such as with this the bond and so forth. We will do what we have to do. We haven't had as many challenges like this as we have survived and overcome many challenges in the 30 years that we've been running this college. This year, you throw in the addition of the economy, and it just made things a little bit tougher. And we are doing what we can to we are strategically restructuring. We've done that. We continue to do that as needed. And here's where we are. But I understand the position that puts you in, and so we will do what we need to do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
From Washington, D.C. I'm here at the National Conference of the Colleges of Acupuncture and Asian Medicine.
Okay. And can I just confirm that the Accreditation Commission for Acupuncture and Herbal Medicine, their requirement, I think it was from February and early March, requires the show cause hearing also requires a teach-out plan. Is that right?
We presented all of those things to them as part of the requirements, including, a submission of the missing report of notification. So all those things, and we will continue to supply those to your office. And again, I apologize for the communication snafu. I did have
you already, apologized.
Okay, I
apologize. Once and in writing. Although I don't know, I shouldn't usurp the staff's right to hear an apology because
I have talked to them as well.
So. Are there questions from other board members?
I just have a couple. I was trying to get a sense of where your current student count is at right now.
I believe we are about 111. We have the next semester starting already, so I need to get I can get you that most updated number. And I've sent, I sent the gross tuition revenue calculation based on current students, and those numbers do include our other programs, smaller and continuing education, and so those are complete, I believe.
I was also, and I'm just not familiar with the school, but I'm not sure if there's like a clinic or another side of the business that supports the school.
Yes.
From the financials, it looks like there is, but I wasn't sure if that was really directly related to support the education or if the clinic itself kind of stands on its own and the students or the education process benefits from that clinic business.
Yes, 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 it does. Generally, the clinic accounts for about a third of our revenue. Again, with the economy, we've had to deal with some fluctuations in numbers of patients, and we are in the process. We've brought on some new supervisors. We're gearing up for this summer session as well. And, of course, summer in Arizona might be slow, but we will do what we can to fill up that clinic again. And, yes, so we have a clinic.
So when you're referring to the sensitivity of the economy, are you referring to that in relation to customers coming in seeking the services of the clinic and thus also potentially the students? Or are you talking more from interested students to come into the education process who are not able to do so? I'm not sure.
Okay. My reference to the economy is its impact on schools overall. And in our industry, acupuncture colleges, they all have a clinic that supports students' training. It's open to the public. And as we've seen in our industry, four of the bigger schools close. Everyone suffered from a 30% drop in revenue in the past couple of years. We're starting to climb out of that. This is actually the topic that we're here discussing at this conference. But in reference to your question, patients fall into that category as well. And patients in Arizona in the summer, we usually see a drop in that, but we'll see how that works. We're working on strategic initiatives to build up our clinic as well. So.
And then that follow-up, just in regards to the teach-out plan that was denoted in the report itself, it sounds like you do have that, but it has yet to be supplied to our staff here.
We provide the information that we provided to our accreditor. You should have that, and I can always send it again. So I provided that to you.
Yeah, actually, Mr. Romano, we haven't, I don't believe that we've officially requested it yet. Ms. Nemec may have submitted it, along with other documents, but I think it'll be part of the, stipulated agreement. And okay. So, you know, that will be forthcoming.
I didn't know if I maybe overlooked it in the voluminous files that we have of materials to look at. So all good. Thank you. Those were all my questions.
Yes. Yeah. And it's our goal not to have to utilize a teach out plan. We are dedicated to getting through this, yet I understand being prepared. And so thank you.
And that is all it is. We just want to be prepared from that standpoint. The hope is that you will turn this and move in the direction you desire, which we share that desire as well, but in the benefit of just making sure we're taking care of our students and residents in Arizona, we try and have those contingencies.
Absolutely. I understand.
Okay. Any other questions from board members? So I'm going to
Dr. Bittman, I do have one question, and it's actually for Assistant Attorney General Jean Galvin, which is related to before the motion is made, whether this would be a stipulated agreement or a board order. Ms. Galvin, could you provide some insight into the best approach?
Thank you, members of the board. I would recommend a stipulated consent agreement at this time.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Romano, with your permission, I will move to require a stipulated consent agreement with Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture, which would include a surety bond. That, Mr. LaMountain, do you want me to leave that kind of to be determined or put a number not to exceed?
I would thank you, Dr. Bittman, members of the board. That $180,000, again, is off of information that I received last night. That would be 100% of the total of the 30%. That the institution's revenue derives from cash. So
may I interject? That amount is $95,566 with the new email that I sent you with the new report.
Yeah, I haven't. And again, I have not had. Unfortunately, I just received it, 20 minutes ago, so I haven't had an opportunity to look at it.
Could I say need to exceed, and that way you use the new calculation?
Yes, and that way we can confirm exactly the information that was provided today.
Okay. So the stipulated agreement will include a surety bond not to exceed $180,201, student transcripts, teach out plan, submit to quarterly financial reporting, and provide all relevant communications to the board. Including those with the Department of Education and ACAHM. And I think that's it. Can I get a second?
I second, Mary Kelly.
All right, thank you, Mary. So we have a motion and a second. With that, any further discussion? Mr. LaMountain, if you would take roll.
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Bittman?
Aye.
Dr. Bittman votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball? Mr. Ball. Oh, that's right. Recused. Thank you. Dr. Boutte.
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye with a vote of five ayes, one abstain. That motion will pass.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, please, the staff will follow up with you, but we appreciate you attending today and talking it through this matter. We realize it's difficult, and we hear the sincerity in your voice in regard to wanting to move forward positively, and we want to help support that. Anything that you can do in timely communication with the board staff, as you can see, they're managing a lot of different schools, and it is a small staff as a whole, would be very much appreciated. So thank you for that support.
Yes, thank you very much for all you are doing, and we are working with IT to correct some of our communication issues on our system. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
To continue maximizing Dr. Mittman's time, let's move on to life work education.
So let me give a warm welcome to our colleagues at LifeWorks. Mr. Swigger, are you here?
I know Mr. Adair is here.
Okay. Is there anyone here from LifeWorks?
Hi, this is Flint Adair with LifeWorks. I have to apologize for Dr. Swigger. He's unable to attend this morning. He had a health emergency he had to attend to. So.
Okay.
Sorry for that.
Like Dr. Swigger, is that like delivering a baby or a different kind of an emergency?
Personal health issue. He's having to do it. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. I shouldn't make fun of, I shouldn't make light of it. So this is also a referral from the March 2025 meeting. You have in your, board members have in the packet a report from Mr. LaMountain. That addresses the issues, accreditation concerns with the ABHES, financial instability. The school over the last 3 years has lost $1.4 million, $2 million, $1.9 million in consecutive years with a significant decrease in cash at the same time. There's also been some unplanned changes in leadership, which the school has been addressing as well as they could, and also some non-compliance with some regulatory concerns. Mr. LaMountain, and so at the Finance and Audit Committee meeting, or Finance Committee meeting, I'm on a different board on the Audit Committee. We asked for LifeWorks to come to the full board because we're going, our recommendation is also to require a stipulated consent agreement or a board order. We'll wait for our Assistant Attorney General to clarify that. Mr. LaMountain, is there anything else from a background standpoint before we give Mr. Adair a chance to
the committee? No, or the board, no additional information other than what has been provided in the report. Again, this was a referral because of the wanting to move them to a more formal stipulated agreement or board order.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Adair, anything that you want to update us on?
Yes, thank you for your time. I can just fill you in on a little, some of the challenges we had faced over the last quarter, and then speak to some of those accrediting issues that we have been resolving. So we did have an unplanned transition. Our previous school director and enrollment manager both resigned without notice or transition. To start their own competing brand, and that was discovered to be in process all throughout the fourth quarter of 2024. There was an intentional reduction in course offerings by those staff members through Q4 and Q1, They were working unilaterally to do that. So there was a reduction in total course offerings, and we created a shortfall in some gross revenues. But we've overcome those staffing changes. We found replacements for those staff members. Within a matter of weeks, we restored all the lost class offerings. We brought in some new and returned some good personnel, and we're now seeing enrollment back to a class level of budgetable profitability. The change in regional managers also saw restored relationships with some of our feeder partners and clinical locations. So our paramedic program is looking very healthy going into 2025. We actually saw a surge in enrollment as well, nearly 70% increase. That was 94 new students since the last quarter. So our Peoria campus specifically, which is what these financial meetings are about, saw a $40,000 increase in educational revenue. Our Mesa campus similarly saw an $85,000 increase. So the Peoria campus is stable, healthy revenue recognition, and no new major expenses. The Peoria campus does remain in a probationary status with CAHEP. That's the Commission on Accreditation of Allied Health Education Programs. We have submitted all the required reporting and documentation to that commission, including a new articulation agreement with Columbia Southern University. We're told that they'll be expected decision no later than their March 2026 board meeting regarding that status. In addition, you mentioned ABHES. We did have a show cause notification. We were required to report on a previous paramedic class cohort after the closing of one of our non-main campuses. We submitted all that information back to ABHES, as well as they require regular reporting from these quarterly financial meetings with this board back to ABHES, and we've submitted all that to them. ABHES did send us a letter that they found good cause to extend our current grant of accreditation through August of 2025, based on significant improvement demonstrated by the institution towards resolving the areas of noncompliance. We submitted all those required updates February of 2025, and we're told that we should expect an update on that at their July 2025 board meeting. In addition, our audited financials for 2024, we expect those to come back June of 2025, and then we will submit that to this board with that quarter's financially reporting. So we appreciate your support. We appreciate especially the support through this unexpected transition. All board members and staff have been very helpful. I'm happy to answer any further questions you have.
Any questions from board members?
Yeah, I was trying to get a sense based on what had occurred there, just the disruption that two primary members, as you've articulated, kind of created in a very short period of time that seemed to kind of unravel the organization in this way. I'm assuming this is probably a pretty good learning for the school from that standpoint and necessary safeguards. Can you talk about maybe some of the safeguards you put into place to avoid something like this from happening in the future?
I can speak a little bit to it, and that's probably something for Dr. Swiger, our CEO, to speak more to. I've taken on a larger role in this organization. I've been involved here in the operations for about 13 years, so I've been helping resolve some of these issues that popped up. Some of the safeguards is we've just put together a larger internal board, especially dealing with our paramedic program, to make sure we have diverse voices on that board to ensure that things are being submitted on time. Part of that, like the articulation agreement, the thing that led to our probationary status with CAHEP, was something that had been completed. It just hadn't been turned in by the previous outgoing staff. We feel that that may have been there may have been some malicious intent there, knowing that they were on their way out. So just making sure that more people are involved in those discussions and on those deadlines going forward, which we, with the last two submissions, everything's been submitted ahead of time for both CAHEP and APHES since the change.
Yeah, it does look like from the narrative, it looked like some things are definitely corrected moving forward and some adjustments that are made there. I realize you're just speaking loosely at this point in time of what those previous employees may or may not have done. I would just ask, though, that if the school does find that there taking further action with those individuals, maybe from a legal standpoint, that you do at least educate the board. You had suggested that those individuals may be going out to start their own type of school. We'd certainly want to have sensitivity. It's part of a disclosure anyways, if there's some pending legal situation there. But certainly with what you're describing, it's and the sensitivity we have of making sure we're always putting our students first and our residents of taking care of them. This does sound concerning from that standpoint. And so any help that you can provide, just keeping us up to date and informed, that could avoid potentially something else. Yes, Mr. LaMountain.
Mr. Romano, members of the board, I can confirm that the individuals that were part of LifeWork have applied for a license with this board. We are currently reviewing that application, but I can confirm that. So certainly, Administrator, if there's other additional information or legal actions, that would be something this board would be certainly interested in reviewing that information.
Absolutely. We'll be happy to share that information, and I'll be sure that the team shares anything with this board.
Thank you. That's all I had.
Are there other questions or comments from board members? If not, I will make a motion that the board require, and we're going to defer to our assistant AG. Is this a stipulated consent agreement?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. So the board will require a stipulated consent agreement for LifeWork Education, which will include a surety bond of $144,454, submission of student transcripts, teach-out plan, quarterly financial reporting, and communication to the board of all relevant agencies, including ABHES and other accrediting bodies, perhaps the Department of Ed, et cetera. Can I get a
motion? Do we have a second?
I will second
that. Ms. LaMount, we have a second motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Mr. LaMount, if you would take roll.
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye, with a vote of 6 ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
All right, very good. Mr. Adair, thank you very much for your time. We'll move on to, we'd like to pull forward for the sake of Dr. Mittman's time, agenda item number 9, which is review consideration and possible action of the following change of ownership for Arizona Automotive Institute. Looks like, based on what I'm seeing on the screen, we do. So with that, Dr. Mittman, if you would.
Sure. I think this is a fairly straightforward discussion item, but I'd like to turn it over to our members of Arizona Automotive Institute to give us a brief synopsis of the change of ownership. And you know that we all have the materials in our packets as well.
Absolutely, Mr. Mittman. Thank you, members of the board. I wanted to just start with an intro of the team that's present and available to answer any questions that may arise during our discussion, and then opening statements on behalf of the company, and then Lauren will provide some campus level updates we think that would be important for you guys to hear. On the call, we have Lauren Morocco, as you guys are familiar with, Executive Director at AAI. We have Yvonne Keithley, a Regional Director of Operations. Amber Powell, our Manager of Regulatory Operations. Joe Feiler, SVP of Finance. Arkin Hayer, our Chief Financial Officer. Myself, Daylon Childress, SVP of Operations. We're excited to formally share a significant achievement, and one that we've worked with you guys and shared along the way. regarding Ancora's asset acquisition by Linden Education System. Expansion of our portfolio includes both traditional academic programs and practical technical training that allows for market differentiation and establishing Ancora and LES as a comprehensive system within higher ed. The existing Ancora leadership team and the school system remains in place following the acquisition, and LES has pledged to allow Ancora to maintain its independent operations, as the case with their Lindenwood University and Dorsey College within their LES system. It's important for us to share with the board elements from our ACCSC change of ownership visits and process that we just felt would be important to share on this platform regarding things like campus and corporate level interactions. We have an operating scorecard inside of our system that really divides responsibility and performance expectations for the ground business. It's really broken into two categories. There's a operating infrastructure, and these are items that the company is responsible for, which are regarding real estate programs and marketing. There's a operating rhythm that shifts that level of responsibility to the campus that are particularly focused on human capital, execution, and outcomes. And the combination of these, this scorecard divides our responsibilities and allows us to responsibly assign performance and financial expectations across a large system of schools. As it relates to financial budgets and operational expectations post-transaction, the adjustment that's really being made inside of those is a shift from a calendar year system to a fiscal year calendar beginning July 1st so that we can align with LES. This transaction has not only brought optimism for our long-range forecasts, but investments that supported the transaction are already in process. As an example, we have 19 new program launches in process across the ground platform and approximately $7 million in capital investments that are committed to support the next wave of Ancora under LES growth. Unless if there's any questions at the company level, I'd like to shift it over to Lauren Morocco to provide some campus level updates.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Childress, and hello, everybody. Since the change in control, our day-to-day operations at the campus level have remained largely unchanged. Aside from a few formal communications to ensure transparency during the ownership transfer, the transition has been handled almost entirely at the corporate level. So this allowed our campus teams to stay focused on our mission, which is recruiting, training, and placing skilled trade technicians into the workforce in Glendale and the broader Arizona region without distraction. Our campus leadership team remains intact. The team, composed of directors and program leads, is currently at 100% staffing. Two members of the leadership team have over 15 years of experience right here at AAI, while several others have been with the organization close to a decade. This tenure speaks volumes about our team's experience and dedication. Over the years, we've consistently delivered high performance across the campus KPIs and financial metrics, and we remain committed to upholding these standards. The change in control has brought with it a sense of optimism. Partnering with a traditional education institution opens up some exciting possibilities, especially when you think through stackable credentials and expanded employee education benefits. We see this as a natural progression for AAI and Ancora, and one that aligns with our long-term goals and enhances the value we provide to both our students and our staff. Our outlook is positive, and we're excited to build on the strong momentum we already have. It is important to underscore that this change in ownership does not signal any immediate shifts in AAI's educational objectives. Our academic programs, faculty, student services, institutional policies or procedures, recruitment practices, management structure, or the campus facilities. AAI will continue to operate as a distinct educational institution, preserving our current accreditation, state authorizations, and core operations. We hope you share in our confidence that this transition represents a positive step forward for both the campus and the company as a whole. With our continued focus on student success, operational excellence, and long-term growth, we believe this change in ownership positions us well for the future. So we respectfully request your approval on this ownership change at today's meeting And additionally, we welcome the opportunity to address the discussion regarding our surety bond and financial reporting requirements should time allow. And thank you very much for the adjustment into the agenda today.
Sure. Well, thank you. It's nice to see you, Ms. Morocco, and you too, Mr. Childress. And so by way of a little bit more background, this is this came up also at the March meeting, and we knew that the change of ownership was still pending at the time. At the time, we also did receive the financial statements that showed two consecutive years of positive net income, both for the Arizona campuses and the parent company. Hence the opportunity that Ms. Morocco just mentioned, which is to go off of financial quarterly financial reporting and to reduce the surety bond. Based on the information that we had in March and then update today, let me just ask before I make any motions, if we have questions from other people. So we're going to we're going to leave you guys hanging in suspense a little bit. So questions from other board members. Okay, this could be like a mindful moment. We can be like a deep breath. So I'd like to make
Very well prepared and explained. So appreciate that.
Great. So I will move to approve the change of ownership application and to reduce the surety bond to $15,000 and to remove the school, Arizona Automotive Institute, from quarterly reporting. And Mr. LeMond, does that also apply to motorcycle?
This is strictly a different.
Okay, so, I have to do that at least once a meeting. So approve change of ownership, reduce the surety bond to $15,000, and remove from quarterly reporting. Can I get a second?
Second, Dr. Boutte.
Thank you, Dr. Boutte. Okay. All right, that was a big motion and a big movement forward. So that's good. Any further discussion from the board members?
I just want to say I genuinely value the professionalism and support that this board gives to schools and the partnership. It really has been a partnership, and appreciate the confidence that that motion shares in us and where we're going. So just thank you for all you do.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on all your good work.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Ms. LeMond, if you would, please take roll.
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte.
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. By the vote of six ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Very good. Arizona Automotive Institute, thank you very much for your time today and appreciate your flexibility in the agenda. Dr. Mittman, if you're able to stay with us, please feel free, but we know you're doing double duty, so have a good remainder of your day as well.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, so with that, we'll jump back into agenda item number 8, which was, again, review, consideration, and possible action for the following pending license applications and the renewal applications going from conditional to regular license. We'll move forward with Elite Medical Training, and Dr. Boutte, you're the lead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Do we have anyone here from Elite Medical today?
Hi, I'm Maggie. I'm the owner of Elite Medical, and this is Kay, my office manager.
Wonderful. Welcome. Thank you. Would you care to make an opening statement for us?
Sure. I just appreciate your guys' time and the opportunity that I've had. I've seen a big impact in not only the individuals in my program, but in my community. It's very exciting to have a new training program, and I'm excited to offer this, and I appreciate the opportunity that you guys have given me.
Excellent. Thank you. So I have reviewed the materials and the website. A few questions here and there. general, curious about your plan for growth as you move forward there in Lake Havasu.
So I don't know if you guys seen, I've had a lot of community support, and we had a location where we turned an auto shop into a school, and it was in the back, so it was a really hard location to utilize marketing for, but it really helped me get the foundation of the school going. So in the meantime, he sold the school, or sold that location, along with multiple different locations in different cities. It's the same of that type of company. And he has multiple properties. So he helped me relocate onto McCulloch, and that is during Main Street. There's a thing called Desert Storm. It's going on right now. People all over the country travel for this one particular event. So we invested in window marketing. So there's QR codes. We really, concentrated on the marketing part. And then we're utilizing reaching out to different agencies now that we met the threshold of being able to qualify for them. So I'm looking into the veterans, readiness program, the vocational relief, with the Arizona Network.
Yeah.
We're trying to partner with them. We got an application going with them because, we have a lot of interest in the school, but it's been a problem with getting people to be able to afford paying for it. So we've set up payment plans, and with that, people get delayed payments. So we've also worked out when they set up their payment plans that they have to write the date in that correlates with the course so that they're constantly moving forward, whether it's paying their tuition, their education, whatever. We constantly have them being accountable and moving forward. So working with these different agencies, it will give opportunity. I have a mobile lab company, so I work with a lot of people in my community. We started working with an agency called, it's a domestic violence agency. So we've offered people a new way of life and an opportunity to take care of their families. So that's a project I'm very proud of. So we're just working with different companies and agencies to try to get word out. And ASU was in my community. They are leaving in the next year, so that's going to be a loss in education. So people are going to be looking for other resources and opportunity. And I also have a CPR company, and I've trained at the high school. So I'm going to look into working with the high school more.
And adding a CNA.
Oh, yes, and I'm adding other programs so that there's more opportunities for different types of education there.
Okay. Thank you. Very thorough. I appreciate that.
If I can add to that, we also want to add a CNA course. MCC, our local community college, they require a CNA as a prerequisite in their nursing program. And we're getting a lot of calls. And that was going to be our next course that we wanted to introduce. And so we'll be doing the application. We wanted to make sure that we were okay with the renewal process. And then we want to add that, and we know there'll be a lot of interest. And we're also right at the threshold of being able to have the amount of time in history for a WorkSource, and I think they call it Arizona at Work here. We started the application process, and we have enough data now that we should be okay for that. And that'll help tremendously because we even have a lot of interest for the phlebotomy. So between the two, we expect to see, have a very healthy, maybe not this year because, we're little enough into the year, but certainly, by the next 2 years, we expect to see a really good trajectory, of growth from both of those new programs.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mr. Mountain.
Dr. Patel, members of the board, just for the school, the CNA would not necessarily be required licensure. That part is exempt, and it's a part of another board. However, if you need it for workforce or any of those other funding mechanisms, then you would go ahead and then submit an application to add the program. So I just want to make it clear that it's not required from us, but if it's required for your funding sources, then yes, you would just move forward with that.
We'll get approval from the right institute and then inform you guys so that everybody's, it's just all on the same page so that it just helps the process.
Thank you. We've told that we understand that we submit to the other board for the approval, but then we have to be a post-secondary school in order to submit to them the approval for our CNA program. So
there's steps. Okay.
There's
step
work.
All right,
yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Okay.
Thank you.
Looking at your website, I had a couple of questions. The I was moving through to try to connect with you about us and some other, and there's several sections that don't appear to work. And I wanted to check in around the content that would be in those sections, or just to link them through if they're not working for you. But the about us and the faculty and those links weren't working for me. So it's just a piece of awareness. And then the other piece of awareness is just watching the language that you have on your website, making sure that it's factual and that you can back it up. Being you have a statement on, say, leader for medical training. Just be careful that you're making assertions that are documentable, and that you've got the things in place to say that.
Absolutely.
Any other board members have any questions for Elite Medical?
I didn't see a kind of projection for the upcoming years, although you did allude to the fact of you anticipate now getting to that kind of second year piece of it to maybe open up the student population. It looked like currently you have about 13 active students. That may not be accurate.
We have people going through their finishing up their clinicals and going through their state boards. But as far as the people that we have testing out, they're all succeeding. You know, the end results, the outcomes is we're getting them to succeed. So some of them are taking longer. The first year we've had some delays as far as, you know, getting them available to meet with the clinical people, the regional hospital, and them having availability. There was some delays, and with that, we've learned so that we're pushing it and making sure that from when they finish their classroom, that they're picking up their clinical stuff and then testing out. So we're going to have them start planning closer together and having our instructor be more hands-on so that she gets the students, when they come down to the school, to register for the state board so that we're all being proactive so that we can track it better to making sure that they're completing sooner, you know?
Yeah, we've had the two students that have tested. We've had seven students that tested. Six of the seven students passed on their first attempt. The other student that failed on the first attempt waited the 30 days and successfully passed it on the other day. We have nine students that are currently waiting. They're pending their state test. They've concluded their course, and in our catalog, we adjusted that. That's one of the changes that we adjusted that we'll start scheduling, because in our current initial catalog, we didn't have any control over when they did their testing. We do have one that's in a nursing course, and she may or may not test. It was part of her education that she wanted, and it wasn't her ultimate goal to become a phlebotomist. So that's, you know, and then with the hospital, you know, the hiccups we had in getting the clinicals program established with the hospital took longer than what was optimal for us. But we're finding more of our students actually want to do their clinicals with Maggie's lab cab than with the hospital, because they have to do a lot of shifts at the hospital to get the number of sticks, whereas we call them sticks, it's active venipuncture, but they can get them in a more concentrated time, you know, with Maggie's lab cab. So that's also speeding it up.
And as far as the volume goes, we project for that to increase with all the agencies that we're working with. So.
Yeah, it's very clear. You're very close to it, which is great to see. So thank you for that. As we think about, you know, next year and what that looks like, and the growth maybe you anticipate in student volume and your ability to sustain that same level or something equivalent enough to ensure student success, do you feel like that may result in you increasing your staffing at some sort, or do you feel like your current structure is sufficient enough at this point to support that growth that you anticipate over the next year or two?
Well, we're implementing with growth. I've always, with everything I do everything with a big ideas, okay? So I try to set it up with, you know, doing that. So we've done things like we're implementing AI so that when people call in 24 hours a day, that they can get their questions answered, or we can direct them to getting registered. We've done things like setting up so that we can automate easily sending out emails so that we're getting tracking. Kay has been really good about putting them in categories as far as being able to follow up. So we're implementing a lot of things that will help us with the growth and the tracking of the students. So, and a lot of the people that we're working with, all the different agencies, with my mobile laboratory company, they kind of support each other. So that I work with all the facilities in town. I work with a lot of different agencies, and I have a very good reputation in my community. So that is creating other opportunities for the school. So I'm pretty confident that with the location and all the other things that we implemented, that we'll see a lot, not just a little bit of growth, but a lot of growth the next year.
Yeah, I think also the fact that Maggie's also set up a testing center, so they can do their testing with our, we've arranged with NHA. That's one of the delays, is also it's taking a long time for them to get a test. They have to travel quite a ways to get.
At least an hour away.
Yeah.
So that's been a hiccup.
And so now they'll be able to test at our facility. We had a meeting with NHA earlier this month, and so we'll be able to start testing on site. So that'll be a quicker turnaround to them getting their licensing, which are also going to draw people to our program. And we also do think that we'll be easily in a position to add staff. The more our students we have, the more that we'll be able to support adding the staff. So it just, one is going to follow with the other. So yes, you know, in addition, and then with the addition of technology, of course.
And I'm super excited just to add on to her situation as far as the NHA. I'm super excited because that's creating opportunity in my small community, not just for my students, but again, for my community. I think big. So that with it becoming a testing center, I'm working so that I can be a testing center for my community as well, not just for my students. So we're pulling everything apart, you know, trying to fix or improve things that we need to. But I'm excited that we're not just going to be able to test our students through the NHA, but we're working with different testing agencies to making it suitable to be a testing center in our community, to making more opportunities to close the gap for anybody that's trying to get further their education. Because a lot of my people in my community have to travel at least an hour to 3 hours to be able to get their state boards done. So that's another project on the side that I'm super excited about.
Well, I just want to commend you both. We can clearly see the passion that you have and all the great stuff that you're doing here. You've come such a long way in regards to starting this school up and getting it going and all the things you're thinking of and being very progressive in trying to plan for a sustainable future. So I just wanted to quickly commend you both for that. That's all the questions that I had, Dr. Bidet.
Thank you for your guys' help and time and guidance to make that happen.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Romano. Romano, I'd like to follow up that and agree that welcoming and seeing the connection you have with the community and how you're forward thinking with the students and saving them the time so they can be there. I think it's a wonderful commitment that you have to the community and your students. Are there any further questions from the board members? All right, hearing none. Make a motion to approve the conditional to regular non-accredited vocational program license application with the stipulation that you maintain the $15,000 surety bond. Is that something you're willing to maintain?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And in closing, I'd also like to thank all the board members for their quick responses for any time that we've called and their support. And their suggestions. They've also been very helpful, including Kevin's, you know, thoughtful comment today to make sure that we were aware, you know, in regards to the CNA program. That's typical, you know, of the thoughtful guidance that we get. So we really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second. It's Mary.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Any further questions?
Mr. LaMountain, if you would take roll.
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. By the vote of 5 ayes, 1 absent, that motion will pass.
Congratulations, Elite Medical Training. We appreciate you participating today on that. We wish you the best of luck and possibly see you in a year from now.
Thank you. I won't disappoint.
All right. Thank you so much. With that, we'll continue on to our agenda with Ocean Point Dental Assisting Academy of Gilbert with Ms. Kelly as our lead.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. I'm going to excuse my vanity and still get on with my bruised face here. So do we have anyone from Ocean Point Academy on the call?
You do. This is Dr. Barber.
Hi, Dr. Barber. Glad to have you.
Hi. What happened?
You know what? I tripped down some stairs in Cabo and hit my head. So I wasn't drinking, by the way, but I just wasn't paying attention. And it's actually much better than it was. It started up here. It's a long story, but
at least you're not.
I have to call up the pink elephant. That could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse. I didn't break anything, so it's all good, and I had a nice vacation.
Thank goodness.
So thank you. So listen, it's nice to see. Go ahead.
I didn't want to say anything, but when I saw you, I was like, she looks beat up.
I kind of have to call out the pink elephant in the room, so here we are. But it's nice to see you again and to the business at hand. Do you want to give us an update on Ocean Point?
Sure. So it's been an interesting start. We definitely have plenty of interest. Our biggest struggle with the school, which is fine because of the way it's set up, we have time to grow, is financial arrangements. It's the hardest thing I think for most trade and vocational schools to deal with, is people being able to afford to do it, even at a low cost. So that's probably been our biggest hurdle. We have a couple of options right now that we're working through that are going to help us with that. But we definitely have plenty of interest. We get probably 20 to 30 leads every month that are interested, but it's the financing part that we're working through. So when we get that solved, it's definitely going to make things move a little quicker than they are now. We have had nine. We now have a 10th student go through our school since we started in August, and realizing that we're about a 10-week turnaround with 2 weeks in between each class. All of our students that have graduated are now working in a job. We've been able to successfully place all of them. And so that's been a positive for us. Two of them we've actually hired in our own dental office. So that's been good that way. The demand and need is out there. We have dentists that know we're running the school that are asking us, hey, do you have anybody graduating? And we've talked to them about, you know, the financing issues that we've been, you know, dealing with those who are, you know, trying to go through the program. So that's where we're at. As you know, we run it through our dental office. So expense-wise, it really, unless someone is in the program and paid, we don't really have any expenses involved in it. So it's not, you know, we're not like a traditional school where we have a rent and a bunch of staff that we have to pay and things like that you deal with other, you know, other schools that, you know, if they're not generating so much a month, they're going to go out of business. We're not in that type of situation, which is nice. As you had mentioned to us, Kevin, when we sent our stuff in, you know, that's kind of where we're at.
Great. That's a great update. Yeah, I know there was a little question on the financial. I know Gateway Dental is, you guys have great financials. There's a big,
We've been around for 20 years. So, and it pretty much backs what we need. I mean, the offices here, the dental assistants that help us teach the course actually work for us and have a full-time job. This isn't their, you know, they do that on the side. So it's not an issue of having full-time staff that has to be paid. My office manager does a lot of the administrative stuff, Julie, that you guys, Kevin, you probably talk to her a lot, but so that's nice with that. So we have room, we have time to grow. We have time to, you know, make things move. So that's not an issue as far as that goes.
Okay. Well, it seems like everything you have in is mostly in order. There was one call out on your Ocean Point specific P&L. It looks like there might have been a data error on there.
There was, We had to fix that, yeah.
So that's fixed now. I wasn't sure if it was fixed. Okay.
Yeah, it just, my account is dealing with our two new businesses, and so he put some misinformation in there, but that's been fixed, so.
Great. Well, like I said, I think most of the materials were in order. I did want to give you one other call out just as a heads up on your marketing materials. Your second flyer has a typo on it. So if you're advertising, you probably don't want to type that. Yeah, it says dental, D-E-N-T-L. You're missing your A. So that was the second flyer.
All right.
These things happen, but just wanted to give that to you. So yeah, I know as a business owner.
I'm very OCD. So even when things should be capitalized and they're not, it drives me nuts. So.
Well, I'm an old English professor, so you know it definitely drives me nuts.
Oh, that's right. You did tell us that, Mary. I forgot. We talked about that.
Yeah, I think we talked about this before. So
yes,
that's right.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to ask if my colleagues have any questions, because I really don't have any other questions. I think you've submitted everything that we needed to, but I defer to my colleagues to ask any questions they may have. Okay. Doesn't seem like there are any questions. So, and I assume that you're still okay keeping your surety bond at $50,000.
Yeah, we still have, we re-upped it again. No problem.
Okay, great. All right. Well, then on that note, then I'm going to propose that we approve the conditional to regular non-accredited vocational program license application with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond is maintained.
Great. Do I have a second? All right. I'll go ahead and second. Keep us moving along.
Thank you,
straightforward. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Lamalo.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Lamalo.
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte.
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. That's a vote of 5 ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Barber.
All right. So with that, we've been at it for a little over an hour and a half. We have another section to get through here that includes about 4 different applications. Just checking with the board, would you like to take a 10-minute break and return back maybe at 11:45? Seeing some nodding of some heads. Why don't we make it 11:50? So we will pause or at this point break and look to resume at 11:50 today with the remainder of the agenda, if that's appropriate, Mr. Lamalo.
That works.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. We'll see you shortly here. All right. We're at 11:50. So we will look to call the board back into order. Ms. Lamalo, do we have all participants present?
We do. And I would like to call out quickly Ms. Benjamin, who was the first person on the call today at 9:30 a.m. She's been very patient, and we appreciate that. So
thank you.
We do, and look how I pulled us right to break right before it was your turn. So we appreciate your patience as we go through that piece of it, but we'll move to the initial applicant section now, and starting off with Brownie Pretty Academy. And Ms. Kelly, you are the lead.
Great. Well, Ms. Benjamin, it's very nice to see you on camera. You've been here for a while, I guess. So how'd you like to tell us a little bit about your school before we start?
Absolutely, yes. So Brownie Pretty is an institute that's primarily focusing on training brow permanent makeup application. So that's the primary focus. Not doing any kind of other training per se. It's just starting with the brows, and then hopefully down the road I'll add more programs.
Okay. I saw you had some more higher end procedures, right? Some standard ones and then higher end ones.
Yeah, so I have 2 programs. Both of them are for beginners. So I have the PMU Brow Professional Program, which offers 4 techniques. And then I have the microblading on its own. That's another program for a beginner. And then from there, there's 2 other workshops that I offer. One of them is the 3D Advanced Training, which basically using multiple blades, multiple colors together and creating that more of a realism effect. And the other workshop that I have is honestly primarily for pre-certified artists that did not receive sufficient training in their institute, so that way they can always come back focusing on the avenue that they're lacking confidence. So a lot of people could be lacking confidence in color theory or the actual application. That way I can create a custom curriculum for them, focusing on those aspects and train them further and give them that confidence that they need to be able to practice successfully.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, I looked through your materials. I mean, everything pretty much seemed to be in order. Did you send your, I don't think you sent your website or your marketing materials to the board. Did you do that?
The website, definitely they have an access to that.
Okay.
And then if you want to go ahead, you can access that.
I went on your website. I did. So I just, there was a notation somewhere. Did you send any of your marketing materials to us or?
No, I have not. So my marketing material will be, beside what I sent to Kevin about how the marketing will be, but it's primarily going to be online through social media. And then down the road, I'll be hiring a company that would lead in that department because I'm running two different businesses, two different LLCs. So there's Brahmi Pretty Services and Brahmi Pretty Academy, and I'm the only one running the whole show. So
I noticed.
So I'm trying. I'm trying my best.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think it's great. And like I said, the order, the materials all seem to be pretty much in order for me. I'm going to open up to my colleagues and ask them if they have any questions for you.
Just for, it looks like from the timing of the program, is it 5 days a week for 3.5 weeks? Is that the intent?
No. So basically the big program, the PMU Brow Professional Program, is 130 hours. And that will be divided, or basically 130 hours of the program is an equivalent to 16 8-hour days.
Okay.
And not counting the weekend. So
okay.
If the student will come to my school in person, they will be spending eight hours a day for Monday through Friday and then take the weekend off. So I'm trying to give them a little bit of time. I mean, some of those people that do register for those programs have family, have kids, have other jobs. This is like more of a supplemental skill that they are just going to add as a secondary income. So I'm trying to make sure that the length of the program and the structure of the program will fit anybody that is trying to get into this field.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to kind of commend you from the standpoint of it looks like you're taking a little longer approach in this delivery of the education than what we've seen maybe many of the other institutes that have opened up over the last couple of years in regards to how swiftly they move students through the program. So thank you for that.
Yeah, definitely. I care so much, not just about my clients. I care about the students as well, because unfortunately, since permanent makeup is not regulated by the state of Arizona and a lot of other states as well, it's not regulated by the health department nor the cosmetology board, and it is an absolute mess out there. People that are not qualified to practice, they're practicing. People are not qualified to train, they are training. And I dealt firsthand with some student that been certified by other institute that are not working because they don't have the confidence. They never really worked on a human being. It's only just latex. And it just is sad that some people invest so much money trying to get into a career to better their life, but they end up not doing anything because they feel they're not confident enough to do that. And Keith, now I remember that I looked, he made sure to tell me to show you this book. I wrote my own training manual and I published it to sell here in the U.S. and globally as well. So this book basically is 180 pages, just about microblading and nanoblading. It's just a comprehensive training manual. I do offer the PMU Brow Professional Program, another book. It is about the shading, the manual shading as well. So I'm providing my own material. I worked hard on this one, honestly. But basically, the reason why I did that, I want to make sure that my student and every person out there is able to get hold of information that are based on facts, not opinions. Because there's a lot of misleading information out there, wrong information, or even books, which I've bought three myself. Two of them were mainly pictures, very, very basic information that were given. And one was very confusing and missing a lot of material, important and crucial material, like skin disease and contraindications or the skin structure, because that is vital information for anybody that's trying to practice. So that's what this book is all about.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that that additional information. And knowing Ms. Cardullo is on the call today and knowing there's other schools similar to yours, maybe there's an opportunity to help bring that legislation and oversight, maybe is a better way to say it, to the industry, even here in the state. So I'll leave it at that. I'll turn it back over to you, Ms. Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Actually, I did remember one question. Where are you getting your live models from? I found that interesting.
Students can get live models, either bring in their own people, a sister, a friend, a family member, where they feel more comfortable working on them, because it will be a nerve wrack, just like I've been all day today. No, just kidding. But I do have an agency which reached out to me, and they do offer free models for the student. So those people or those students coming from out of state, obviously they don't know anybody here. This agency can provide them the models.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, it doesn't look like anyone else has questions. You have a $15,000 surety bond. Are you willing to keep that in play?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, with that, is there another question out there? Okay, just that, I guess it was just feedback. So with that in mind, I would like to recommend that we approve the conditional non-accredited degree program license application with a stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond is maintained.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that is my recommendation.
We have a second.
This is Dr. Lockhart.
All right. All right, Dr. Lent, thank you. No, all good. Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Lamont, if you would take roll.
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Lent?
Aye.
Dr. Lent votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. That's a vote of five ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
Okay. Congratulations, Ms.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your patience and time with us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and everything that you guys do. And I look forward to working further with you in the future.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
We'll keep it moving with New Era College. And I am the lead on that one. So do we have a representation from the school? And if you would, just introduce yourself and then maybe just give the board just a little bit of background, understanding that we have already had a chance to review your materials.
Okay. Good afternoon, esteemed board members. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to appear before you today. My name is Omnia Sheik, President and CEO of New Era College. I know it's tricky to pronounce my name, so please feel free to skip my last name and you can just go with Omnia. I'm here along with my colleague Mohammad Elhimi, our vice president, and we are honored to present our institution. New Era College was founded out of a vision shaped by over 30 years of experience in both education and workforce development, spanning from K-12 to higher education. Throughout my work in accreditation and quality reform, I have consistently encountered a gap between academic learning outcomes, ILOs, and workforce competencies, career path needs. Our mission in ERA is to close that gap through relevant, agile, and quality assured academic programs. Our vision is personally motivated by my decades-long work in supported education reform initiatives all across the MEDA region. Actually, these experiences gave me deep insight into both the opportunities and challenges of education infrastructure development shaping the natural starting point for a new era. We recognize the global demand for qualified language educators, and we are driven by migration trends, cultural change, and international workforce needs. We chose to start with graduate level programs because many current language educators come from language art backgrounds, which design primarily for teaching native speakers. Our goal is to upskill these educators with the strategies, tools, and frameworks required for teaching language for non-natives. At the same time, our programs welcome individuals seeking a career shift who can turn their linguistic heritage into a professional advantage. We launched our graduate programs in applied linguistics, focusing on teaching Arabic as a foreign language. Our decision was based on a critical shortage of professionals who possess both strong Arabic language skills and the pedagogical expertise needed to teaching non-native speakers. Based on market research conducted through data collected from three global research firms in the US, Germany, and Japan, as these are the areas of Arabic non-native speakers, a high demand for qualified Arabic language instructors has been raised. Looking ahead, we are strongly interested in expanding our curriculum to include additional languages, and we are also exploring broader academic tracks that reflect New Era multidisciplinary mission and commitment to global relevance. And we are happy to answer any question from the board.
Thank you, Ms. Oshik. Appreciate that. I only have a few questions that I wanted to go through, and then I'll turn it over to my board members as fellow board members to see if they have any additional questions on that. Certainly, I appreciate the preparation of your materials. Did note that we only had one marketing example, and we don't have the website as of yet to kind of really evaluate that marketing piece. So just for awareness on that, we'll probably make that part of the condition of this approval, that we would receive that information so that the staff members can just validate that your marketing materials and website are appropriate and meet that expectation.
Sure, but in the market, sure, we will provide it again. But in the market study, we referred for the three sites we already collect the data from, but we can submit it again. It's fine.
Well, we mean for your actual marketing materials, like a brochure or an advertisement. Maybe advertising is a better way to put it, to just validate that you don't have any overstatements, overcommitments, or anything that we would find to be out of acceptance.
Sure. Our marketing material. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. As I went through this and had a chance to look at your information, which was very thorough, and I appreciate that piece of it, I did notice and at least wanted to call out the fact of it seemed like in year three of your marketing plan, you have a significant increase in your percent of revenue associated with your faculty and staff. So you kind of went from a 6% revenue faculty per revenue to over 20%. And everything else in your budget kind of remains consistent with how you're scaling up and your student count. I just wasn't sure why there was such a significant increase in year three related to that budget item of faculty and staff, if you were bringing in new staff or what that looked like.
Okay. Actually, considering the financial part, I'm not that expert one. My relation with the financial and money to spend it, but I will try to answer this question because this part is prepared by our financial outsourced office. But here, what we are projecting to having students from the whole globe. So we are starting to enroll a lot of students. We also covering a broad range of courses that can, we have faculty from different countries to cover these courses. And also we try to make for each course at least two professionals, two professors to cover this course. So also we are targeting having some cooperations with organizations they are interested in expanding the teach foreign languages at large and teaching Arabic foreign language in these different areas, Europe, United States, Far East. So we will attract all these, we'll try to attract all these interest parties to support our programs, since it is we can say a booming or a growing market. It's almost by 2030, it will be increased by triple. So that's our expectation for the coming 3 years.
Okay, that thank you. That's helpful. I can see how adding more languages and possibly seeing the student density go down or the instructor to student ratio going down as well, creating some of that additional burden in the faculty side. So I appreciate that perspective and the well thought out answer associated with that. My only other area that I wanted to kind of get clarity on was in the catalog that you provided to us, in regards to the general requirements for admission, on page 9 of the catalog we received, I was unclear. Usually I see something that says they need to be of a certain level to be able to enter into the program from that standpoint. I did note you have one item on here that says the applicant would have to complete college an application on the website, so maybe that level of education requirement is captured in that, but I just wanted to clarify that point.
Sure. Since we are 100% online, so the application will be online as well, and there will be a certain part for the education. They have to submit their bachelor degree or the highest education degree they have. It should not be less than the bachelor degree or an equivalent to it. And the transcripts providing, they have to provide transcripts that proofing this degree. And if they have any other supporting educational, like a proficiency test they went through, or any other supporting documents can be submitted.
I appreciate that. Mr. Lamont, I just wasn't sure if it sounds like the school has the requirement. I just don't know how transparent it is to a student and if there's a requirement that it be called out in the catalog versus in potentially some online application. They're probably meeting the expectation, but I wasn't sure if there was a requirement that it does have to be published in the catalog, what education level is required for that.
It should be in the catalog. It certainly has to be in the enrollment agreement before a student would sign, knowing what they're getting into, but that information should be included in the catalog.
I did not see it on the enrollment agreement either, so a requirement or where it clearly stated what the education level needed to be. That's okay. I mean, that's easy enough to correct and put in there from that standpoint. But just wanted to call that out to gain clarity if it was needed. So, and it sounds like it should be called out from that standpoint, which seems like a very easy fix.
Sure. Sure, there is an enrollment agreement, and we did already submit the enrollment agreement and mentioned in the enrollment agreement that they has to agree that they read the catalog and they agree with what's in the catalog. But okay, we can add it in the catalog as well.
Yeah, so I think the challenge is you don't have it in the catalog, and so you're telling them to read it in the enrollment agreement, and there's no connecting of the dots.
So
this is really to help you from the standpoint of Stu, you don't suddenly get inundated with people who are really not qualified to come in to seek the education that you're requesting, and they have clarity on either they've met that expectation or not. So if they are for some reason denied enrollment into your school, they can fall back on, well, I didn't meet the requirements as they're stated versus something that's kind of behind the scenes. Does that make sense?
Yes, sure.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Those were really my only two areas of concern and questions. So I'll see if my fellow board members have any other questions. Okay. Hearing none. I will go ahead and make a motion that we approve the conditional non-accredited degree granting license with maintaining a surety bond of $15,000, and then also the submission of the website and other marketing materials so that the staff can validate that piece, and that you do make the one adjustment in the catalog to, or at least the enrollment agreement, to clearly call out what the education level requirement is associated with that.
Absolutely. Sure.
Very good. With that, do I have a second? And I cannot second myself.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Boutte. Appreciate that. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain, would you please take roll?
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly? Ms. Kelly? Ms. Kelly, are you still with us?
I am. Sorry. Someone just dropped chicken soup off for me. I'm sorry.
Aye.
All right. Ms. Kelly votes aye. That is a vote of five ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
All right. Congratulations, Newera College.
Thank you so much. A couple things to
just clean up there, but how exciting to bring this language opportunity to our market. We appreciate that, and we're very excited about it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we would like to take the opportunity to thank all the board members for their great support and guidance all over the process. And also to thank all the committees, the academic committee and the curricular development committee that helped us having this work done at that level. Thank you so much.
Very good. Very good. Dr. El-Shafe, we don't normally open it up. It may just be you were reacting to the good news there. So we'll leave it at that, and we will move on to our next agenda item as well, which is Horizon Trade Institute with Dr. Leck leading the charge.
Good afternoon. So I am going to see if someone from Horizon Trade Institute would like to make an opening statement.
Hi, yes, I am Camilla Andam, and I'm on this call with our president, Gary Verone. We first just like to say thank you for your guys' time and for considering our school for licensing. We're excited to introduce you to Horizon Trade Institute, a modern solution to career training built for today's learners. We're founded in 2025, based in Gilbert, Arizona. Horizon Trade Institute, or HTI, is a private online vocational school designed to make hands-on, career-focused education more accessible than ever before. Our mission is simple: to build strong career pathways by removing the traditional barriers of in-person education and offering flexible, high-quality programs completely online. At Horizon, we currently offer five specialized certificate programs in high-demand fields: appliance repair, HVAC technician, medical assisting, paralegal studies, and pharmacy technician training. These programs are designed not only to equip students with essential skills, but also to prepare them for the recognized industry certifications such as OSHA 30, EPA Section 608, and NATE Ready to Work. Every course is structured for online delivery, and each of them includes some combination of virtual reality simulations, interactive training modules, and with instructors from seasoned instruction from seasoned professionals. Students graduate with a certificate of completion and the tools they need to confidently enter the workforce. Our leadership, including myself as the CEO and our president, Gary Verone, brings shared commitment to student success and workforce readiness. With a team built to support distance education, HTI is proud to deliver a flexible, affordable, and future-focused approach to vocational learning. Whether students are just starting out or looking to pivot into a new career, HTI is here to help the residents of Arizona one skill at a time.
Great, thank you very much. So I do have a list of questions after going through the materials, if we can just kind of go in order. The first question was, I noticed all the resumes that both of the owners are out of Utah. It looks like a whole bunch of faculty are too. So what brings the school to Arizona?
Yeah, thank you, Board, for your time this afternoon. My name is Gary Verone, like Camilla mentioned. One of our partners is actually Norman Rodriguez, who's on the APSA board, and he has a school in Arizona. And he actually invited us to come to Arizona and said, there's a ton of potential here and ton of need, especially in the hard trades. And so we have a physical domicile down there. And Camilla and I will be spending quite a bit of time physically moving or spending time down there, building out partnerships, enrolling students. We're also members of the LDS Church, and there are almost 500,000 members of the LDS Church in Arizona. And we have a lot of strong contacts to that group and demographic specifically. We believe that that group is untapped largely, and they're driven by self-sufficiency, self-reliance, gainful employment opportunities. And we have several inroads already with that community.
Okay. So it looked like from the resumes, one of the owners is going to move here or both the owners?
So we're going to split our time between Arizona and Utah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Then I went into your enrollment agreement. So you have a cancellation policy that is required by the board. And then you have the other cancellations, and this might also be a question for Kevin. They're mostly duplicative in that it's a 30-day refund, 100% prior to a student starting class. So I guess I'm just wondering if they could add the up until the first day of class so that they get the 3-day cancellation plus up into the class without having them separated. So I just wonder how students read that, you know what I mean, and students follow it because they mostly look the same. Does that make sense?
Dr. Luck, are you asking me a question about that?
Yes, sir. So they have the 3-day cancellation policy, right, which is the 3 days excluding Saturday, Sunday, and holidays. And then immediately following it, they also have that after those 3 days, as long as they haven't started school, the student will get 100% refund. So I was just thinking for a student, they might not quite understand why it's two different ones when it really could be you have the 3 days plus, you know, as long as you haven't started school anytime up until after that.
I think that as long as they have the state mandated, cancellation policy, if they do anything in addition that is more supportive of the student, which it sounds like this particular piece is, I think to your point, Dr. Leck is let's make sure that we clarify that, because you're reading it from, you know, what your perspective of running schools and as a student looking at it, what would it be? So I think certainly to tighten that up and clarify that. And we can work with the institution on that as well.
I think that would be great, because then I was just like, they were mostly the same, but I think a student's going to have to reread them, you know, multiple times versus just taking that little part and putting it into the state one as long as it meets the state's requirements. So you guys I would say work with the staff and see if that's okay. That was just an idea I saw.
Thank you for that.
Okay, so then I'm trying to understand how your classes work. If you could kind of explain to me what your modality is, what LMS you're using, kind of how you see this working.
Yeah, so we're on the HVAC and appliance repair front. We have a partnership with a company called Titan Training Solutions, and they provide a full service LMS. So when a student enrolls in the program, they are onboarded with HTI in conjunction with Titan Training Solutions as our education provider. We also have hired a part-time faculty member, and we're in the process of adjusting that from HVAC and for HVAC and appliance repair. Our previous faculty member has parted ways for a more lucrative opportunity for herself. And so our new individual faculty member, his name is Dan Parker, and he's a master HVAC and appliance repair technician out of the Midwest. And he will be on live on a Zoom call with our students once a week for 90 minutes, answering any questions about the curriculum, concepts, theory. They can even submit questions during the week before that regular meeting, so that way they don't forget going into that live Zoom one-on-one educational piece. In addition to that, we also have built in some VR component to it. You don't have to have a VR headset. It is recommended for our students, but there is some kind of hands-on experience that way with touching devices, refrigerant, different things you would need to learn and grow as an HVAC technician or appliance repairman. That's on those two program side. On the other side, with paralegal studies, medical assisting, and pharmacy technician, we have built out an LMS separate from the Titan Training Solutions LMS that will take an individual through all their clockwork hours. And there are videos, there's live content as well that you can get every other week with a live professor that we've mentioned in our application, and a ton of built out curriculum around that. We also have a partnership with Walgreens and CVS for our pharmacy tech program that we're finalizing right now to help feed our graduates into proper externship opportunities when it comes to pharmacy technician work.
Okay, so I'm going to jump around to a whole bunch of your materials because there's a couple of things. So if you have asynchronous time occurring, you have a marketing material for HVAC specifically that says any schedule for anyone. It says in there any schedule, the schedule meets for anyone or something like that. And
right.
That would not necessarily be the case. And I worry about that statement because it's all, it says like all, you know, any schedule meets all people's needs. And I think you're going to run into the student where it doesn't, and they're not going to be able to do those, you know, meet those times, and it's going to get you into a pickle. So I think you probably want to go back and revisit that and make sure that any statement that you make is irrefutable. If one person can not fit that, then it's going to end up before the complaint committee. And then there's other things that seem to me in my mind to not quite work together. So in the enrollment agreement, there is you're withdrawing. You have a withdrawing policy in there. And it says a student will be determined to be withdrawn from the institution if the student has not communicated with the school representative and not attended class for 2 days. All right. And then if you skip to your attendance policy in the catalog, it is very, very different. So I was, I took notice of the 2 days because if it's online, that seems like that will not work because that, like the point of online is usually to be able to go in and go out. And even if you took a weekend off, right, you would be out according to that and withdrawn. And so I think you need to go back through like all of those types of materials and make sure that they coincide with each other, right?
Yes. Thank you. Can I address the first part of that, Dr. Leck? Thank you. So our curriculum is delivered on demand at your own pace, 2 a.m, 2 p.m. The only anomaly with that would be the live instruction that I mentioned before, which is recorded and can be tapped into and accessed at any point in time thereafter. So while you may not be able to engage live if you work, say, the swing shift, right, every day, Monday through Friday, you can still submit questions, have your questions answered on that call, and then watch the recording thereafter. So I don't want it to sound like it's way off. I think we still need to figure out a perfect description of it, to your point, ma'am, but it's not as far apart as maybe some are perceiving it to be.
Okay, I still think you'll find that one person who says, I can't attend live and therefore does it. So I just make sure with the staff that they're fine with it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so you need to go back to your withdrawing policy. You need to go back to your attendance policy to make sure that those work together. I found this funny. But in your LOA policy, there's a sentence and it starts off with the applicable president. So I didn't know, is like there's more than one president in your organization, or because I think it was just one president everywhere else.
Correct.
So you might want to just take out the applicable.
Thank you. We'll make note of that. Yes, thank
you. In your LOA policy. And then I'm guessing based on the information that you just gave. So I found the tuition charges interesting, that HVAC and appliance repair were double the cost. And I'm assuming that's because of whatever the partnership is that you are participating in with those two particular programs. Is that the case?
Yes, that is the case. We're also trying to match industry standard, and we've done quite a bit of research with institutions in Arizona, and it does range from about that $5,000 to $10,000. We want to be on the high end because we think that getting a student through the program with those three certifications that Camilla mentioned within 2 months is much more advantageous than having to spend 6 to 10 months in a program and delaying entering the workforce.
Okay. So my next question comes out of the practicality of it when you're talking about something like HVAC and fixing appliances and it being 100% online, meaning that they have never fixed a washing machine and they're going out into the world. And yes, while I do understand simulation, I'm like really familiar with, say, nursing programs, and I understand that that's life or death. But, you know, if you send someone out who's never touched a washing machine or touched a refrigerator or fixed an air conditioning unit in real life, I'm just kind of surprised there's no any type of like hands-on clinical requirement for them to actually have to go do a checkoff or something. Are you guys not concerned about that? Because like watching videos and stuff is one thing. Fixing it where someone's paying is another, and whether they'll get a job for not ever having touched it.
That's a great question. So I'll answer that maybe in two parts. The first is none of the certifications that are all required for entry-level technicians require that checkoff. So the theory behind that is the governing entities are saying, we still believe that you can be an adequate and sufficient entry-level technician by reading a book and getting some minimal training online. So they made a decision independent of us. Second, I will say, in our research, many, whether you're a boutique operation or a mega HVAC operation, they want to train their own technicians their way and their style. A lot of these companies, yes, they'll pull from traditional trade schools, but they'll also take anybody who's a workhorse, who's got a GED or high school diploma, who's of proper age, age of majority, and who has a devotion to the trade. And so they're not as concerned of, were you spending months or weeks in a simulation where you actually had to solve these problems? They're going to partner you up with a seasoned technician and let you work under him or her for the first 6 to 12 months before taking over your own truck or van.
Interesting. Mr. Romano?
Yeah, so Mr. Byrne, I totally respect the letter of the law in regards to it being legal from that standpoint. And I appreciate your perspective in regards to different operations and shops that would hire on a technician. However, you know, the reality is if we take a step back, you're charging $10,000 for somebody to take a course online, never experience the real environment, to possibly go out, fail miserably, or not be able to get hired. I realize there's a lot of if statements there, potentials from that standpoint. Is there anything you can provide us that would help us appreciate what the success rate is, has been for like a technician of this nature solely being trained online and being able to go out and secure employability?
Thank you for that question, Mr. Romano. To that question, I can only share anecdotal evidence and data because we're not yet in operation in Arizona. We don't have the data that we can pull from. I'd be lying if I communicated otherwise to this board, but we discovered there was a gentleman in Texas doing something very similar with National Trade Institute, and his prices are variable, but they have done great work over the past 4.5 years and enrolled hundreds of students, primarily in HVAC, plumbing, and electrical on-ramps to these careers, and have done very well for themselves out in the Houston area. We derived a lot of our inspiration from that mechanism, but not copycatting it. We wanted to make sure it was a good fit for Arizona and Arizona residents. And so to your question of, is the price too high? I certainly hope not, but having talked to our specialized demographic, the LDS community, we're not getting that kind of pushback, but we'll obviously defer to the board and to your guidance on this.
Yeah, I won't speculate on that piece. I certainly want you to appreciate there are many schools here that service the LDS community, not solely, but certainly are well represented here to take care of those students. As you have already stated, Arizona does have a large population, which is currently being serviced through other educational institutions. So just wanted to clarify that point. Ms. Kelly, you may have something additional you want to bring forward.
Yeah, actually, I thank you, Mr. Romano. I retracted because I think you said National Trade Institute. Did you say National Technical Institute or National Trade Institute?
National Trade. There is National Technical Institute as well, which I know operates in Arizona.
And
National
Texas,
Trade Institute.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
that's okay. I got the two confused because I was going to say they do an on-site part. As most HVAC company schools have an on-site HVAC part. So, okay. I'm not familiar with National Trade.
I'm just saying, I don't even care where the student population is coming from. The fact that that is a lot of money and they have no hands-on experience with any of these things, I am very concerned about those two programs and what will happen if students can't, you know, get jobs because they're the only ones that have been online. Even you might have found one in Texas that doesn't tell us here in Arizona that those students are going to be lining up here and asking for all of their money back because they can't get a job because they actually, you know, they haven't touched any of these types of, you know, things that are all physical. You know what I mean? Like, it's very different than paralegal. Like, it's all information, right? That's very different. I can get that. I think even a farm tech kind of, I think a little bit worries me, right? They're not in that pharmacy thing until after, you're saying after they're through your program, right? And so, at least they're going to go there, but I just worry that that these students are going to get stuck, and I don't know.
Prior, maybe Mr. Vern, to you replying to that. Listen, you always have to break new ground, right? So we're not trying to stop that process. I think what we're trying to help you understand as an operator is there is a person at the end of this line that will come into your school, pay a tuition, possibly never even have a chance to go out and experience what that environment is. And if you're familiar with HVAC in Arizona, a lot of those units are on rooftops. And you're usually doing that work in about 120 degrees. And so that takes a different type of person to be open to wanting to work into those environments versus somebody who has sat in the comfort of their air-conditioned home, take some courses, and then try and apply that education outside. And so obviously the consumer has to make their own decision on that matter. What we're trying to help you appreciate as an operator of that institution is to maybe do a pulse check on what the outcome will really be for that student depending on how many come into it, thinking they're going to be in an office environment that maybe they don't appreciate it from that standpoint, what you may be able to bring into the curriculum to give them some exposure to something external so they can make the best decisions for themselves. And as Dr. Leck was saying, to avoid ultimately students coming back and saying, the school did nothing to prepare me for the real work environment. They gave me the technical elements, so they met the letter of the law on that piece, but they failed me in my understanding of what it was really going to be like as a technician, which just creates unnecessary problems. So we're more trying to challenge you on that side of it to think through it, especially because, and these are your words, not mine, of your impact to a certain community. We want to be careful with all communities from that standpoint, set the right expectations from that. I'll leave that be at this point, but there, I do at least want to say, as you reflect back on this, you may consider how you go about helping set the student up for success versus potentially them engaging in something at a cost only to find that the employers won't actually hire them, or they'll hire them at a very reduced rate at minimum wage, which they could have just gone anywhere else. And yes, maybe after a period of time, their wages increase as a result. But how many have to go through that process and have a successful outcome? How many others go through the process and are left behind as an educational institution? And obviously from your background, you're familiar with this because you've been in education for a while, right? The expectation that we do good for society with having successful outcomes versus just meeting start outcomes and potentially the revenue associated with it. That's not being judgmental. I'm just saying that's what we are all trying to balance at all times.
And I thank you for those thoughts, Mr. Romano, and your wisdom. Thank you.
I think my last question that I'll open it up to my other board members, though, is because it's online, you are only going to enroll students that are in Arizona?
Yes, that's the plan. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so then you have systems and stuff to ensure that a student from another state is not enrolling in your program?
Well, our plan, to be honest with you, was to verify their residency. Yes, through a copy of a driver's license mm-hmm. or other legal documentation. Yes.
Okay, we just want to make sure. So, if you tried to do that, you have to get that state's that state authorization too, regardless of whether you're online.
Okay.
That is the end of my comments and questions. I'd open it up to any other board members. Okay. Hearing none, Mr. Romano, I'd like to make a motion. With the concern that multiple board members have expressed regarding the two very hands-on HVAC and appliance maintenance programs, I motion that we approve the conditional non-accredited degree program license application with the stipulation that the $50,000 surety bond is maintained.
Dr. Lurk, would you be open to an amendment of asking the school to come back forward again in 6 months' time to the board so we can evaluate this progression? This is new in some of these areas, and I'm just wondering if that would be the responsible thing to do.
Yeah, I would be open to that amendment.
That sounds great to us as well. Thank you.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, Mr. Lamont, would you take call?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. With the 5 ayes, no nays, that motion will pass.
Okay. Congratulations to Rise and Trade Institute. Again, please don't misread our comments as anything but trying to help you be successful and trying to help the students of Arizona be successful and setting them up for success. My hope is you really do reflect on what comments were provided here today in your thoughts of how that will impact the community and making sure that you set them up for success as best as possible. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we will move on to Carlos Magnus College, which I believe, Dr. Boutte, you have that one.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Is there anyone here from Carlos Magnus College to represent?
Yes, sir, Dr. Boutte. My name is Charlemagne Glover, Charles for short.
Welcome, Charles. Would you care to share anything with us about the institution and the plans, knowing we have read your materials?
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before the board. On behalf of Carlos Magnus College, I want to begin to express my sincere gratitude to all of you who've helped me through this journey. You guys are really practicing at the top of your scope. I really have to take my hat off to that. I would like to say also, as a founder of Carlos Magnus College, I want to assure that I am fully committed to upholding the higher standards of academic rigor and the institutional integrity. I am determined not to let the board down as well as the state. Arizona is experiencing a tremendous economic growth. With that comes responsibility to build a strong educational foundation that supports, sustains this progress. Now more than ever, our residents deserve access to programs that prepare them for high demand, future-facing careers in healthcare, technology, and innovation. At Carlos Magnus College, our motto is legacy over profits. We're not just building a school, we're building an institution grounded in a purpose, committed to equity and designed to empower students from all walks of life to contribute meaningfully to Arizona, also to contribute meaningfully to Arizona's future. This is my home. I am loyal to the academic pursuit of excellence, and I'll do everything in my power to serve the state academic population at a high level. Again, thank you for your consideration of having Carlos Magnus speak before the board.
Thank you. I have a few questions after going through the materials. I do have a question for Mr. LaMountain really quickly. Is the items on the website, is the note in there indicating staff will review those, or are those to be reviewed in this meeting as well?
We will review those after, and if there are any issues, we will have the institution corrected.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I just want to note, Charlemagne, that the board, if they have a connector, they will connect me around. There are some concerns with marketing and advertising and with the compliance of the website as it's presented now that they will go over with you. They will, those items that they're going to go over you will need to be corrected in order to ensure compliance and approval. So outside of that, the first question I have is really about the relationship between the institution and algorithm intelligence. When looking through the materials, I did see some of the business corporation materials. There's one for algorithm intelligence, but it's about an appendix, amendment, and the amendment isn't present. So could you help us understand a little bit about the relationship between the two?
Algorithm intelligence is the funding agency for now until the program can stand on its own. I own that organization, that LLC. That LLC specifically is dedicated to nuclear medicine in terms of mobile imaging. I do consulting for nuclear physicians, physicians in cardiology, radiology. I may look over some of the processes that are going on within the clinic. I also provide benefit for organizations coming in the state, providing medical imaging. One of my recent clients is Precision Diagnostic Imaging out of California, who provides positron emission tomography on a mobile trailer. I also go through policies and procedures as it relates to the state of Arizona, ARA. I have a correspondence with Brian Gortecki, who leads the state radiation regulatory agency. So the primary purpose, again, of algorithm intelligence is a consulting agency.
Okay, so there's not an ownership relationship between
the
college. Okay, all right. So next, looking at the student catalog, looking at some of your planning materials, just want to make sure I understand, you're not looking to have enrolled students until 26, is that correct?
26 is fine with me, yes.
Okay, I was just trying to verify what I saw in the catalog, that there's a plan and the plan is to...
Yes.
Okay. So with the online, it's 100% online, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about the intention between the clinicals with Capstones and how, similar to some of our prior conversation, but how do the students get the practical experience necessary to operate within nuclear medicine?
Can I use an example?
Sure.
So currently I am the nuclear medicine director for NP College, npcollege.edu in Lakewood, California. In that situation, I am teaching about 40 students in nuclear medicine, and I've developed that program. I have a partnership with Cardinal Health personally and PCI of Arizona. PCI is a nuclear pharmacy. Cardinal Health is also a nuclear pharmacy. Students, I set up in California a rotation to join the nuclear pharmacy for a few weeks to understand what they're going over. I have a relationship with UC Irvine and also City of Hope in California, where my students will be also rotating through those clinics as well. The first cohort is about 11 students. I have placements for those students. Those students have spent about 6 months, similar to my program as well, where they'll also spend 6 months rotating through the hospital, being checked off on their particular procedures that are required by the accrediting body.
Okay. So when it comes to online, are you initially restricting to Arizona or is it open beyond that?
No, this is specifically for Arizona for a small number of students. I'm not concerned in bringing in 20, 30, 40 students. I know the market, flooding the market with a bunch of students and not being properly trained could be a disaster. Right now in nuclear medicine, we're on the verge of a lot of drugs being going through the pike. A lot of technology, including nuclear medicine with the emerging imaging of CAT scan computer tomography, as well as nuclear medicine with MRI and theranostics. These are therapy agents for patients diagnosed with cancer, and they're very promising drugs. Those drugs need to be carefully understood and studied. This is internal medicine. It's a two-year program. There's a lot of information. You're expected to converse with physicians with 10, 12, 14, 15 years of experience. My students need to have that level of understanding to converse with these physicians. But more importantly, the patients. We're dealing with nuclear radioactive isotopes. If you're not responsible and you not understand your scope, you cannot be a benefit to the allied health profession here in Arizona. So I want to add benefit to those who want to attend school nights and weekends.
Okay. And so how does that then expand into, you've got some plans for additional programs in computer tech or chip tech and some others. Is that also here in Arizona?
Yes. Initially, I was, before I got started, I got a little too motivated about this process when it occurred to me that this was my passion. With the change of guard in terms of administration, the president, correspondence between the U.S. Department of Education, the states, in some manner, policies may change. So I decided just to pull back and focus on one program right now until I figure out what's going to happen with the state and the federal government. Those are programs that I would like to push over exclusively to Arizona at this point.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the online. I see your intention is Google LMS.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to understand a little bit about when it comes to your online training, the mm-hmm. format, is it synchronous, is it asynchronous? What's the schedule like for students? Is it on their time, do they have a specific time?
It has to be on synchronous because I need to be able to forward-face with the students. I need to be able to give feedback right away in order to make sure the students are understanding and comprehending the material. With nuclear medicine, the caveat is
These students also have to pass the board exam ARRT or NMTCB. And that's the fail-safe for my program and checks and balances also for my program, because no matter how many students I put through, they are not past the boards, I'm in trouble eventually, whether it's with the state and or the accrediting agency for radiology. So I will be the professor for 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday. If it's a weekend, it's going to be at least, I'm hoping to get break up a 10-hour day with breaks for Saturday and Sunday. Also, have some interest from some individuals that are in the military or overseas in the program. So I decided maybe I open up overnight program as well. Just depending on the accreditation process. I don't want to put the cart before the horse right now. And okay. That's the purpose why I'm not accepting more than 6 students this first year. Just because I want to make sure that I am compliant with the state, as well as giving the students the best opportunity to succeed in this program. I want to make a great impression, and again, I want to create a legacy.
Okay. Thank you. So when it comes to your attendance policies, that all is related to actual attendance in the synchronous session.
Yes.
And that's the only means for recording attendance is through their attendance at the live, or assume attendance at a clinical site.
Yes, I will be the adjunct clinical instructor, ACI, will obviously, you know, correspond with me or students. Hopefully that's not the case, that they attend all required hours that are in our catalog.
Okay, thank you. Any board members have any other questions? Understanding the website pieces are going to be conversed with at the staff level.
No questions, but just wanted to commend you, Doctor, how cool this is. You're being very thoughtful in the size that you want to start with and how you bring that forward. It seems like you will be intimately involved in helping these students achieve their education. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Any others? Okay, well, I would like to propose the motion that the board approves the conditional and non-accredited degree granting license with stipulation that the institution maintains the $15,000 surety bond. And that the institution works with the state to provide updates to the website to comply with Arizona rules and statutes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
With that, do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fall. Appreciate that. So with that, we have a motion and a second. If we could, any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Lamont, would you take roll?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. With a vote of 5 ayes, no nays, that motion will pass.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on passing. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Okay. With that, we will move forward to a call to the public. And the board encourages public input. Presentations are limited to 5 minutes. However, please be advised the board is prohibited from discussing, considering, or taking action on any item not included in the agenda. While additional public comments may be requested during the meeting, they are not generally allowed. So if you would, based on the fact we're all virtual here, if you would like to be recognized, please just raise your hand, and Mr. Lamont will call on you accordingly.
Ms. Cardullo.
Shocker, I have a comment for the public. Pleasure to be here, Susan Cardullo from the Arizona Private School Association. I got 2 shout-outs today, which I dearly appreciate, and I just wanted to congratulate all the schools. It was a really great day for some wonderful workforce and education solutions coming to the state. Also just wanted to mention, I'm one of the 18 people that Director LaMountain mentioned are going to be in St. Louis for the NASAPS conference. And Arizona, thanks to you and your team, is a shining star of the greatest place to operate a school. So looking forward to learning a lot. Thank you.
Awesome. Anyone else?
I do not see any.
All right. So with that, we will make a motion to adjourn the meeting for today. No second or vote is required. So we will adjourn at 12:57 p.m. Arizona time. So thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, staff, for all the preparation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll do it.